What happens when a boy who counts everything? Seconds in songs, cracks in sidewalks, stars scattered across the Mississippi sky, discovers that the universe itself follows patterns more beautiful than anything he could imagine. For young James Plummer Jr., growing up in America's most unforgiving neighborhoods wasn't just about survival. It was about maintaining wonder in a world designed to crush it. Between the Third Ward's violence and his mother's constant relocations, he found sanctuary in an unlikely place, the elegant mathematics underlying reality itself. His story isn't just another rags-to-riches tale. It's proof that brilliance doesn't wait for permission, and that sometimes the most unlikely trajectories lead to the most extraordinary destinations. Picture a childhood measured not in years, but in radio songs. Each time Miss Elaine packed up their lives, young James tracked the journey by whatever played on the dashboard, a human odometer measuring displacement in melodies instead of miles. After witnessing his mother set their bed ablaze following his father's betrayal, stability became a foreign concept. Yet amidst this chaos, something remarkable emerged, an obsession with patterns. While other kids played outside, James disassembled household appliances to understand their workings. His mother's frustration, "Why is you always breaking shit?" usually ended with a belt, but punishment couldn't suppress his curiosity. He exploited book club loopholes, checking "Bill Me Later" boxes that couldn't legally bind minors, devouring Nancy Drew mysteries, Poe's Darkness, and Edith Hamilton's mythology, where heroes with superpowers needed divine protection, a concept that resonated deeply. When his father reclaimed him, taking James to rural Mississippi, another education began. On the Piney Woods farm, he learned country skills alongside the family marijuana business, cleaning and bagging product with precision he'd later apply to scientific research. Vanished to a sweltering New Orleans stairwell while his father entertained upstairs, fifth grade James found volume E of the World Book Encyclopedia. Einstein's photo, wild hair, gentle eyes, triggered immediate recognition. Here was another weird loner whose mind could travel millions of miles from painful realities. Mass is energy, space-time bends. This explained why his consciousness could escape his circumstances, why patterns existed beneath chaos. The revelation demanded testing. Despite neighborhood dangers, James convinced cross-dressing men on the corner to help, throwing rocks while stationary versus while skateboarding. Using crawdad hole to measure time, they proved space-time's existence on broken pavement. Science became sanctuary and superpower. His sixth-grade brain report earned him IQ testing. The result, 162, sent his mother dancing. "My baby's a genius. One day the whole world gon' know it." At Heidelberg High School, Mississippi's third worst, James's brilliance made him simultaneously gifted and troublesome. He grasped material faster than his teachers and didn't hide it. But Mr. Reeves understood. "He's a mischievous kid, but he's a brilliant mischievous kid who we need to encourage. He's just bored." That boredom found purpose at the regional science fair. James programmed a special relativity simulation on the school's IBM 5150, while his friends, Antrim McGee and Aristotle Bender, built their own projects. As the only all-black team, their cardboard displays looked pathetic beside competitors' wooden trifolds with brass hinges. At the state competition in Jackson, they'd left their display boards behind. Aristotle offered James his. "You're our best shot." Judges moved James from computer science to physics, admitting they didn't understand his simulation. In physics, he confidently fielded increasingly difficult questions, drawing on knowledge accumulated since age 10. First place in physics, a trophy proving he could bend space-time just enough to make Mississippi stop and take notice of my beautiful black mind. Combined with his tuba talent, earning elite state band spots, scholarships seemed inevitable. Until a Navy recruiter offered $20,000 annually with a potential $30,000 signing bonus to become a nuclear engineer. During Reagan's recession, with his family struggling, this felt miraculous. "I guess my lil James a bonus baby now," his mother said, signing consent. After a skin condition ended his naval career, James landed at Tougaloo College, where he and roommate JG became campus weed kingpins, with his father supplying product. The same mind that solved physics problems now optimized distribution networks. When hometown girlfriend Lisa announced her pregnancy, their relationship crumbled. After a difficult delivery, she rejected him. "You weren't there for me when I needed you." Devastated, James visited his father's New Orleans house and tried crack cocaine. The effect was immediate, a warm wave washing away all my pain and stress. Learning his son Martel had cerebral palsy deepened his spiral. He and JG spent earnings on cocaine binges instead of inventory. Failing grades followed, and he dropped out, eventually working as a hotel janitor. His impulsive marriage to Jessica became his lifeline. Her stability offered a path back to college and sobriety. Academic redemption began with calculus. He earned an A by working every problem in the textbook. With Dr. Dave Teal as mentor, he declared physics as his major and scored 100% on every exam. An MIT conference for Black physics students ignited his graduate school ambitions. Stanford's acceptance felt like validation until arrival exposed a vast preparation gap. His joke about choosing Stanford because they accepted me fell flat when classmates corrected him with institutions he'd never heard of. The message was clear: token diversity admission. Professor Meyerhoff recommended undergraduate physics first, noting that while Stanford had produced 30 African-American physics PhDs, some faculty, including the department chair, hadn't supported his admission. Stanford courses operated at incomparably higher levels, with professors more interested in displaying brilliance than teaching. When James asked classmates for help, he was repeatedly refused. One publicly humiliated him: "Some of us read before we ask others for help." He resolved to work alone and outwork everyone. This backfired spectacularly. B's and C's replaced his usual A's. Next term, he scored lowest in every class. Desperate, he considered dropping out until Nobel laureate Doug Ostroff challenged him with complex physics problems. James solved them all easily. "You sure seem pretty smart to me," Ostroff said. The turning point came when Art Walker presented soft X-ray photos of the sun's corona, a black sphere covered in white flames at 1.5 million degrees Kelvin. Standing in the back, James realized he was among a select few humans to see the sun's true nature. He wanted to join Walker's research group. While Jessica completed nursing in Jackson, James reconnected with cocaine through fraternity brother Troy. Despite witnessing crack destroy JG and his father, James showed Troy how to cook it. Paradoxically, his grades improved even as weekends dissolved into drug use. Jessica returned pregnant. Impending fatherhood reminded him of his failures with Martel, whose cerebral palsy therapy he couldn't consistently support. The breaking point came in East Palo Alto. Robbed at gunpoint while buying drugs, James gripped a chain-link fence as a woman shouted, "Shoot his ass." The assailants fired into the air and drove away laughing. In desperation, James confessed everything to Professor Art Walker, from Tougaloo to the gun. Art simply asked, "Well, you're not going to do those things anymore, are you?" Then he shared his own story, growing up black in Harlem, facing career-long discrimination. Physics is difficult to begin with, and it may be hard or impossible to convince some faculty you belong here. But you're a smart guy. That's why we wanted you. I believe in you. Art became the father figure James needed. When James failed his qualifying exams under suspicious circumstances, Art stood firm. "They know you passed." He taught James how to command respect as a professional scientist without triggering tribal hierarchies. Most importantly, he taught distinguishing between what he believed to be true and what he knew scientifically to be true. At Stanford's Green Library, James immersed himself in African history and culture. Changing his name wasn't rejection, but reclamation. He chose Hakim, wise, Muwata, he seeks truth, and Olusei, God has done this, in Yoruba. While Stanford colleagues embraced it, folks back home resisted. "You still James Plummer to me." Art's response was characteristically straightforward: "Okay, Hakim Olusei, let's get back to work." As his thesis neared completion, Hakim had authored 13 published papers. For his dissertation committee, he chose art as chairman, plus the two toughest professors, including Nobel laureate Bob Laughlin, a notorious intellectual challenger most students avoided. I wanted no one to question whether I earned my PhD on merit. When Laughlin challenged his findings during defense, Hakim stood firm. "Look, Bob, you can see whatever the hell you want in it, but my quantitative analyses consistently show a strong correlation." After an hour-long inquisition, Art delivered the news with a handshake. "Congratulations, doctor." A year after graduating, Hakim and Art co-hosted the 2001 annual meeting of the National Society of Black Physicists at Stanford. Though Art had lost significant weight and looked frail, he presided proudly. Art died a month later. Hakim served as pallbearer at his small family funeral, the only student invited. That same year, his father suffered a severe stroke. Though they hadn't spoken in 2 years, he visited and found a broken old man in a diaper, but sober for the first time in years. They reconnected over RC Colas at a juke joint, where his father sang in that soft Mississippi blues style he hadn't heard since age 10. Losing these two towering men, his biological father and his intellectual father, left Hakim feeling alone, yet strangely freed. Hakim began tutoring Black and Latino students at Carlmont High School, the same school featured in Dangerous Minds. These ambitious teenagers had never had a teacher who looked and talked like them. In 2002, he began traveling to Africa to educate the next generation of astroscientists, later receiving a Kellogg Foundation grant to create a mentoring program for Black astronomy students in South Africa. His South African students initially didn't identify with him, seeing just an affluent American professor. He showed them he understood their struggle straddling two worlds, heroes in their townships, but feeling like second-class students at university. Rather than drilling test material, he taught cosmology and quantum field theory. Every student passed their honors exams in the top 20%. When South Africa won the international competition to host the Square Kilometer Array, the world's most powerful radio telescope cluster, four of his students appeared proudly in the front row of the SKA team photo. This commitment to mentorship represents Hakim's understanding that true success isn't measured solely by personal achievement, but by how many others you lift along the way. His journey from James Plummer Jr., the curious boy counting stars in the Mississippi night sky, to Dr. Hakim Olusei embodies the quantum tunneling phenomenon he so loves, the improbable possibility of passing through seemingly impenetrable barriers. Your past doesn't write your future, it informs it. Your circumstances don't define your trajectory, your choices do. And sometimes, the most powerful thing you can do after climbing out of darkness is turn around and shine light back down for those still climbing.